Welcome to the podcast series of Dave Gilpin. Dave could actually say anything he likes about himself at this point because he wrote the spiel. He's chosen, however, to make it entirely factual. Born in Kazakhstan and raised by a herd of wildebeest, Dave took a BA flight to the UK to pioneer the multi-congregational Hope City Church. To find out more, visit hopecitychurch.tv or davegilpin.com. Enjoy the ministry.
Unstoppable. You want to know the will of God for your life? It's to be unstoppable. I check all the. Oh, let me firstly say hello to all the congregations of Hope City Church across England and all the crazy people in Accra, Ghana, and all of the sane people, all the sensible people in Frankfurt, Germany. And all of the cheeky people who are watching in Kuala Lumpur. Hello. And that's it. So where was I? God's will is for you to be unstoppable. A lot of the pastors of Hope City Church give me their messages by Friday night so I can just run through it, make sure the quality's high, right? And one guy I preached on being a good starter. And then he used the analogy of Mo Farah. Mo Farah. Eloise said, who? The one Australian. He is a British legend, isn't he? Everyone goes, shame on you to Eloise. Shame on you. Shame, shame, shame on you. And then he used the example of Mo Farah. And I don't know if you know about Mo Farah, but he's notoriously slow. But he finishes well. And so then he said, well, I scrap the Mo Farah example. Let's use Usain Bolt. Well, I don't know if you ever watched Usain Bolt run. He ain't winning by 40 meters. He's only got 100 meters. He's not winning by 40 meters. Because Usain Bolt is notoriously slow to get started. But he always finishes like a lightning bolt. The similarity between Mo Farah, Usain Bolt is they are unstoppable. Once they get started, they cannot be stopped. When you get knocked down, you've got up again. It's because you are unstoppable. Everything has tried to stop you in the last month, but you're unstoppable. You got knocked down, but you got up again because the spirit of Usain Bolt is inside you. It's inside you. You might start off slow, but God's will is that you finish fast because you are unstoppable. And when you're unstoppable, mountains turn into molehills. Your fears turn into stepping stones. You step over your fears. Your mountains become like speed bumps because you are unstoppable. Whatever's trying to stop you right now will not stop you. Whatever's trying to hold you up will not hold you up because you are unstoppable. This is your nature. This is Jesus Christ in you. This is what the Bible describes about you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 56, it says, this is Bill Hybels' favorite verse. If you want to know his favorite verse from Willow Creek, this is his favorite verse. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. New King James, be steadfast. Be immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because everything you do counts. There's nothing about your life that doesn't count. There's no labor that you've labored in vain. It's not been a waste of time. Your life is so valuable. You make a difference. Everything you do counts. And because everything you do counts, be immovable. because everything you do counts. You're ready to change the world and not let the world change you. You're ready to impact planet Earth. You're here to leave a legacy of impact, a ripple effect on planet Earth, because everything counts, because nothing's in vain. Be immovable. Be steadfast. Be unstoppable. The will of God is for you to be unstoppable. Nothing can stop you. The will of God, the spirit of Hope City Church, is we're an unstoppable church. Everything's tried to stop me, but it can't stop me because I'm unstoppable. Your history has tried to stop you. Your recent history, your ancient history has tried to stop you, but it can't stop you because you're immovable, because you're steadfast, because you're always abounding. You're not creaking forwards. You're moving forwards. Immovable. You're not moving to the left or right. You're not moving backwards. You're not doing a U-turn. You're not being sideswiped. Because you're immovable. It's because you're unstoppable. Because nothing's going to turn you around. This is the will of God for your life. John 7:38, Jesus said this about you. He who believes in me, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. Out of your heart shall flow, not might flow, not maybe flow, shall flow. Out of your heart, what's your heart? It's where God's throne is. That if Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, he's made his throne not just in heaven, but heaven is now in your heart. When you die, you're dropping the body because you're already in heaven, because heaven has already captured your heart. The throne of God is inside you, but there is a river that flows. That flows out from you. Jesus said, he who believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Not swamps, not lakes, not creeks, but rivers of living water. Out of his heart shall flow, shall flow. Shall flow. Whatever's tried to block you up to become a swamp is now becoming unblocked to become a river. Jesus prophesies rivers, not creeks. Rivers, not swamps. Rivers, not marshlands. Rivers, not bracken water of mangroves. Rivers of living water. Psalm 46 verse 4 says, there is a river that makes glad the city of our God. It's flowing from your heart right now. And it's making its way like a bird to the nest. It's making its way to the shores of eternity. Because it's from eternity. There's something about us that we're in transition. Never make your bed on earth. We do not belong on earth. We belong in eternity. We have been captured from eternity and we're going to eternity. There is a river that flows back to. It's flowing back to the shores of eternity. It's like a moth to a flame. It's trying to find its way home. But before it hits the shores of eternity, it hits the sea of humanity. And God has destined you to be a world changer, to change the seas of humanity with the river of life, to change the salt water of the world to the fresh water of faith. You're here to be a world changer. You're here to change the world. It's a river that runs into the sea, but it's on its way to the shore of everlasting life. You're not here to watch the world go by. You're here to change the world. You're not here to be a part of history. You're here to make history. You're not here just to live for the moment. You're here to create a movement, to be a part of a movement called the Kingdom of God. There is a river, and it shall flow from your innermost being, and it shall impact the sea of humanity. The bigger the river, the greater the impact. Am I preaching well or is just this brilliant because I've got my new suit on? The bigger the river, the greater the impact. Sorry to break it down so much. The bigger the flow, the further it goes. The more unstoppable you become, the more irresistible you become. The more unstoppable, the more irresistible. You're not giving up, you're not turning around. You're immovable, steadfast, abounding in the work of the Lord, because everything you do counts in 2014/2015. You make a difference. If you disappeared, if you went back to origins, the world would miss you and be unchanged by your incredible, influential potential. Bigger the river, bigger the outcome. Two things about this water. Number one, it's living water. What you've got is living water. It's not ordinary. It's alive. It's not dead. Jesus said to the woman at the well when he talked about this river, she offered him a drink. And this is what Jesus said in verse number 13. Everybody who drinks this well water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will come to him, will be become in him a spring of water welling up to everlasting life. Whoever drinks of the world is going to thirst again. It's not going to quench your thirst. Whoever drinks of the living water will not thirst again. It's living water. It's alive. It brings life to death. It's alive. And it's living. And whoever receives it will not thirst again. When I was in university, about to study civil engineering, or studying civil engineering, or more accurately, occasionally visiting the civil engineering department, rarely, but I did make it sometimes, usually in the afternoon. My eyes were firmly on the party life. My heart was firmly on the party life. No need to go to clubs. My residential college was a giant club. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we were clubbing. In the club. I woke up in the club. Sounds terrible when a white guy. It just sounds terrible, doesn't it, Stuart? It's just wrong. I'm going to leave that to Maxwell. Hey? It's just, don't go clubbing, Maxwell. It's wrong. Right. So I wanted in. I wanted access all areas in the club. I was repressed, went to an all-boys school. I was kicking out from years of rejection. I was ready to bang the party drum with an insatiable need to be loved, accepted, and wanted. I was about to go berserk. My big break came in the beginning of second year. I teamed up with the most popular guy in first year to perform a song in a talent contest. He played the guitar, I played the bass, and we did this song in our pajamas. It was such a huge success, it catapulted me into Party Central. Access all areas. Well, at the end of that year, him and me and four others were ejected from the residential college. We received our termination order. No more Party Central. Except because I'm good at crawling, I crawled back into the college and continued Party Central all on my own. The conclusion I came to after getting saved 6 months after that was the further and deeper I went, the emptier my life became. I realized that the rivers of the world promised much but gave little. They dried up at all the wrong times. Relationally, I left a trail of devastation. Personally, I left a trail of destruction. I realized that the world is smoke and mirrors. That it's filled with victims who propagate the lies. That in the midst of what the world promises, there's nothing, absolutely nothing. On the other side of Miley Cyrus, there's nothing, absolutely nothing. On the other side of Cheryl Cole, there's nothing. On the other side of Simon Cowell, there's nothing, absolutely nothing. It's smoke and it's mirrors. Because the world's water is dead water. It's only the water from Jesus that's living water. Everything else is dead. Stop being Google-eyed over the world. The world is filled with fakery. I don't know if you've ever visited Hollywood, but the only thing about Hollywood is the one street with the stars on it. Behind that, it's a schmozzle. It's a complete and utter con. It's a trick, the same as Hollywood's a trick. The other side of Tom Cruise is destruction. The other side of Chris Martin is because it's empty. There's nothing there. The other side of every person that you envy, there's nothing there. Stop being Google-eyed about the world. It's propagated by victims of the lie. I went to a party before I got saved where there was marijuana present. And so I sat in a circle with everybody else, and I was well prepared for this. And so the bong was going around. I thought, two or three people in my turn. And the moment it came to me, I had already prepared for this. I had my foil. I already had got my Yorkshire tea. And I put tea leaves in the foil, put it in the bong, pretended to light it up, gave it to the next guy. And then quickly, pronto, left the circle. Well, I said to the guy, I said, how was the stuff, man? He said, it was awesome. I just had to laugh and smile as I realized he's talking about Yorkshire tea. It's because that's what you do in the world, is you lie. You say it was good. So good, I didn't remember a thing. But it wasn't good because it's dead. There's nothing in it. I was in the pinnacle of party living, and all I could see 360 degrees round was emptiness. That's why the salt water of the world needs the fresh water of faith. It's living water. Secondly, it's fresh water. It's not just living, it's fresh. The prophet Ezekiel, he had a revelation, he had a vision of this river flowing from the throne of God, and he described this river, and when it hit the sea, in Ezekiel 47, verse number 8, it said, the water flowed toward the eastern region and goes down to the Arabah, where it enters the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. And swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. That's a promise for us. There'll be huge numbers of fish because the water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. There's a competition going on between salt water and fresh water. And a lot of Christians start off their uni life with fresh water. They end up in 12 months' time with salty water. We're not here to get salty. They're here to get fresh. It's fresh water. It's drinkable water. It's water that leads to everlasting life, to eternal life. Everything it touches. We're pushing back the salt water of the world, replacing it with the fresh water of faith. Salty water does not quench thirst. It makes you thirstier. No matter how much money you've got, you want more money. No matter how much sex you get, you want more sex. No matter how many people follow you on Facebook, you want more followers. The spirit of this world is never satisfied because it drinks salty water. Salty water makes you more thirsty and never satisfied. Pharrell Williams is lying by saying, come on, let's be happy. It's impossible to be happy when you're drinking salty water. You've got to put it aside and let the river flow. We've got to be the river of fresh water to the seas of salty water. No matter how much I got it, it was never enough. Now, this is just for students, right? And I suspect that a lot of students sitting around this area, right? So I'll just move secretly over here. Except I'm stopped by some electrical work. There's always some salt water sellers who are trying to sell you salt water. Dangerous liaisons. People whose sole intention is to get you drunk and then to use you for their advantage. You might not have met him now or met him yet, but they are out there in every university campus. I'm not talking about victims of deceit. I'm talking about fully blown deceivers who want to ruin your life. You will meet them, and you need to not try and convert them. You need to run from them because you might overestimate your faith. You might feel stronger than you actually are, but isolated, you're not as strong as you actually are. We're not here to evangelize the evangelists. We're here to evangelize the victims of the world's evangelism. This evil people, his entire assignment is to break your resolve one bolt at a time until it takes you past the point of no return. Jesus can forgive you, but you need to receive that forgiveness, and that's the harder part of it. They'll slowly isolate you. When Connect Group is on, they'll give you an invitation to the bar exactly the same time Connect Group starts. They're like a spider. They want to draw you into their web. I'm going to say two things. Number one, I've said it, don't overrate your faith. Get close to freshwater people. Meet regularly with freshwater people. Pray to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, the source of life, the freshwater king, Jesus Christ. And secondly, remember your mission. This is the year where swarms of people in the sea of humanity will see and hear of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't need to know much more about computer science. They need to know more about the God of computer science. The one who created the heavens and the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not just at college to learn about history. You're at college to learn about his story and to make it known to the people in your year that this is your mission field, that you will not be missionized, that you will not be plucked away. You're going to be strong because you know the will of God for your life is to be unstoppable, always abounding and the work of the Lord. It's time to let the river flow, be steadfast, immovable, unstoppable, abounding in God's work, to be a world changer, and don't let the world change you. Just stop there, let it sink in. You flow enough, there's no time for the salt water to sink in. Once you isolate yourself, you're in trouble. Once you come away from saltwater people, once you start criticizing the church of God, once you start saying stuff cynically about the church, you're in trouble. And for a lot of people, they leave the faith at 19 years of age and to date have not rejoined the faith. They're playing with fire. But they're filled with regrets and filled with emptiness, and today are either victims of deceit or they're sellers of deceit. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 14, verse number 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way, not a truth, not a life. He is the life that the world needs. He's the life that Middle East needs. My prayer is that some of the ISIL or IS, whatever you want to call them, that some of them get saved, and they will get saved. The same as Paul in the Bible got saved from persecuting Christians. They're going to get saved. They're going to turn around. They're going to have a vision of Christ in their cave, in their bombed out shell of a three-story building. They're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to turn them to the living faith. They might never call themselves Christians because it's politically incorrect for them, but they're followers of Jesus Christ. They know the Spirit. They're filled with the Spirit of God because that's how the gospel works. In Boko Haram, in Al-Qaeda, in ISIS, a number of them shall get saved. And it'll be the answer to a revival in the Middle East. Just wait. Just wait. That's the way the gospel works. The gospel starts off slow. It's like Usain Bolt, but it finishes fast. It's like a lightning bolt. That's the way the gospel works. And of the increase of his government, the Bible says, there shall be no end. It starts off just a stone come out from a mountain, and then it swallows up the entire earth. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about your life and your death. We're talking about your future. We're talking about your prosperity. Here's my last thing, right? I want to talk about the momentum of faith. What you need is a bigger river. And bigger rivers are rivers that have the greatest momentum. It's easy to block up a creek. It's easy to block up an intermittent stream. It's hard to block up the Amazon. That's why it's never been blocked up. It's hard to block the Nile up. Hard to put a dam across the Nile because it's the Nile. Be in denial, won't you, trying to block up the Nile? Sorry. It's just a dad joke, isn't it? It's just shocking. Okay. Just got delivered from that one. You want to be Amazonic. So how do you create a great river? Well, great rivers have the greatest momentum. Momentum is depth times width times velocity. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Don't smoke it. And Maxwell, don't smoke, all right? Don't smoke. How do you get deep? Well, God speaks to you about the same thing time and time again. That's how you get deep. Some of you are thinking, why am I still in grade one? Am I still in Y1 here? How come God's still talking about being Jehovah Jireh? Have I not got it? Yeah, you've got it. He's just trying to make you deep with it. Because that's your story. That's your testimony. God will provide. He's a father to his sheep. He's not just an independent God like the Islamic God. He's a father. He's a personal God. He's a fan of the world. He's like a shepherd, we're like his sheep. And God wants to prove it through first fruits. Prove it through your generosity. Prove it through your bereftness, your skintness. Somebody say, why am I skint again? Why? What's happening to me? No. God's trying to make you deeper. He's picked a hole in you. He's found something in you. But it becomes your testimony. Your weakest point within you becomes the strongest point within you. That if you had no affirmation as a child, then you speak with such affirming confidence that it becomes your testimony. So you need to be deep. But something's happened to the music behind me. It was going so well, Maxwell. What happened? Oh, it's back again. Don't do that again, Maxwell. Otherwise, it'll be the last time you'll be doing. Flow with it, Maxwell. A river's boat. It's like a waterfall, Maxwell. That was just perfect. Do it one more time, but don't overdo it. Okay, Maxwell, that was a cue. Just one more time. Okay, not as good as the first time, but he hasn't been here long. You want to be deep, you want to be wide. How do you get wide when God, you get wide when God begins to get you to do things outside of your strength zone, outside of your talent mix, outside of your gift mix, and outside of who you are. So many people say, "It's just not me." Well, do it. "Well, it's just not who I am." No, but that's what we want you to do. You know, I've realized this about an axe head, that an axe head is a cutting edge and a wedge. You need the wedge to give the sharpness momentum. If it's just sharpness, it's a big razor. It lasts for a month or so. But with a wedge, it becomes incredibly strong. And so God wants to create a wedge within you. He wants to strengthen the stuff that you're not good at by getting you to do things that you're not good at. I said in the first service, how much stuff did I learn at school and uni that was a complete waste of time? You know, I shouldn't even know the word Mesopotamia. You know, praise God I learned water cycle. It's helped me out today's message. But cosine. Sine. Parabolic curves. Who gives a hoot? But you learn it. And it's an area you've got no interest in. But people are trying to make you not just deep, they're trying to make you broad. Because in life, if you're just deep, you can easily be blocked up. You want to be deep and broad. Deep and broad. It's momentum. It's momentum. God wants to make you deep and broad. Momentum. And then He wants to make you fast. The faster you hear the Word of God and put it into practice, the quicker you go. Whoa. The quicker you go. The faster you convert the rain on the hills to river in the plains, the faster you go. The more you convert the river of the rain of frustration that falls on the hills of trouble, the more you convert that, the fast flowing river. Convert it through the cross. The cross is the conversion mechanism from death to life. You apply the cross to anything and it can come alive. There's rain in your mountains. There's trouble brewing. There's lightning, there's thunder. It's happening right now in your life. It's happened in my life recently. I've just said, rain, come this way. Fall this side. Don't fall on the other side called despair. Fall this side called decision. And come into this bed called a riverbed. Come this way. And I'll make destruction into something delectable. I'll turn something awful into something awesome. The faster you convert rain into river, the more momentum you'll have. The faster you convert bitterness into betterness, the faster you forgive, the faster you turn heaviness into joy, the faster you do it, the more momentum you have. Momentum is depth. Wow, I'm a really deep Christian. Yeah, but you need to be a wide Christian. Get involved in everything that's going on. Yeah, but you need to be enthusiastic. Don't just hear the Word of God and then theorize. Put everything you know into practice. Out of your heart shall flow rivers. I'll just say this is going to be our best year. Ever. Because I preach this, we're going to lose less students to the world than ever before. Because the momentum of Hope City Church, the unstoppable spirit of God's church, is getting greater, bigger, brighter than it ever has done before. Come on, Mo. Come on, Mo Farah. Come on, Usain. Come on, let's go. Let's get with it. Let's get ready. And let's have the greatest year ever as the waters touch the river, as the river reaches the sea of humanity, as the sea of humanity moves to the shores of everlasting life, we are on a one-way ticket to success here. As long as we stay fresh, stay alive, stay big, stay expansive, there is a river. I'm just going to finish off by reading a song by Emily Sande. Because it's not just a river this way, out from my heart. There is always a river from the throne of heaven to you. And that river is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Flowing down, flowing out from us. She sings a song called River. And it's about the God, Jesus, flowing down from heaven. Asking you if you want to come and jump into it. Because he'll make your trip easier. He'll make the burdens lighter. He'll make the way better. If you're looking for the big adventure and gold is all that's on your mind, if all you want is someone to take your pictures, I'm not going to waste your time. If you want salt, I'm not here. Maybe I'm too quiet for you, says the Lord. Probably never notice me. But if you're too big to follow rivers, how are you ever going to find the sea? So follow me. I'll be your river. I'll do the running for you. Follow me. I'll be your river. I'll move the mountains for you. I'll make you unstoppable. Follow me, I'll be your river. I'm here to keep you floating. Follow me, I'll be your river. If all you want are answers to your questions, that'd be nice. There'd be people in this room right now. You can't seem to find no love for free. Everybody's love is conditional. Except for the love of God, it's free. Unconditional. If you're looking for the right direction, that'll be some people in this room. Then, darling, look for me. See, I can make the load much lighter. I just need you to confide in me. But if you're too proud to follow rivers, how are you ever going to find the sea? There's people in this room who just need a river. You just need a river. Life's too hard, it's too crushing. People have tried to sell you love with conditions on it. You've been abused, you've been hurt, chucked out. You're volatile. You've gone on a rampage. Some of you a teenage rampage. Some of you like me, repressed, rejected, thought I'm gonna get this world back. I'm gonna do the opposite of what was done to me. I'm gonna become the abuser. Not be abused. If you humble yourself today, there is a river of grace and a river of forgiveness and a river of life. It's living. I'm going to pray a prayer, right? And this prayer I'm going to pray sentence by sentence so that you can say the sentence after me. This is not for people who are just faking it, thinking, I just want to have fun. This is for people who are serious. Not for people who just want everyone to take their photo. This is not a popularity contest. This is a belonging thing. Saying, God, here's my life. If that's you, and I suggest there's going to be a lot of people, that is you. I'm going to reconnect with the river. I'm going to pray this prayer, and I invite you to pray with us. How about every one of us close your eyes, and every one of us join in unless you think, I'm not going to do this. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that you're my river. That you died on the cross for me. You did the running for me. You moved the mountains for me. And you're here right now. I ask you to forgive me. Come into my life. I ask you to be my river. That you might be my guide. that you might lead me to the shores of eternity. I give up the saltiness of the world, and I receive the freshness of faith. Through this one simple prayer, I give you my world.